We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is so good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Here's the deal, Atlanta. We are in total control of the NFC South. And if you're rolling around right now, or maybe stuck in traffic, and you're saying, what's the big deal? The big deal is you win your division, you get in the playoffs.
Mm.
It's that simple. And right now, we're 4-0 in the division. We've won four of our last five. And, Mike, we have a two-game lead in this division after sweeping the Bucs yesterday. Now, Mike was there, and we've been talking about his experiences in the stands and just checking things out and how people were reacting and what was going on. But ultimately, this was a game that you thought was going to be a blowout that turned into a game that came down to the last play because we didn't know what was going to happen with that Hail Mary after seeing the Commanders complete one yesterday, Mike. And that ours happened before that happened. But you just don't know how this is going to play out. But overall, guys, Kirk Cousins was amazing yesterday. And you got to give him props. Give him his flowers, man. 276, four touchdowns. He got Pitts involved. Mooney, Bijan caught one. Mike, he made every play he needed to.
This guy has been money. Eight touchdowns, as we said, 735 yards in these two against Tampa Bay. Just so good. And, you know, I said to Carl, because of where I was sitting, I was close enough to the bench to see him. After they had one series that didn't go well, you know, talking to the offensive lineman, interacting with almost everybody on the team, talking with the coaches. He really is like another coach out there. And the vibe, when he had that long drive, we had given up the safety. Bucs had scored a touchdown. We had blown the lead. It was really getting tight. Kirk Cousins with that 13-yard scramble. At first, we thought it was a first down. Eventually, they go for it on fourth down. He gets the sneak. To see the reaction from the sidelines, everybody going nuts. I mean, this guy's a winner, and he's so likable. Dude, the hip-hop lyric, I mean, throwing the trap stuff before
going
the game.
Someone's trap and trying to take over their trap.
And there were people in this town that were, like, so nonplussed when we signed him. Remember that?
Of course.
We're like, this is the greatest free agent signing in Falcons history. And now, actually, Jesse Bates and him are probably a push. But, man, the guy's delivering the goods.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he is, Mike. You were right in your first statement. Here's why. Because he plays quarterback. Bates could affect the game the way he did yesterday, but you still got to go down and score. You still have to have somebody to lead the offense and do what he's doing. And I love both of these guys as far as the two best additions, there's no doubt. I mean, we could go back 10, 15 years and it doesn't even, you know, resonate with who they've brought in comparative to Kirk Cousins and Jesse Bates. Now, speaking of both of these guys, Dave Archer, after the game, had a chance to catch up with both of them. I want you to hear Cousins first because this was the kind of day we needed, especially coming off of the Seattle game. We were all just kind of like, what's going on? What happened? And he bounces right back, Mike, and comes back and plays like he did yesterday. Here is Kirk Cousins with Dave Archer.
Kirk, I don't know what it is about these two teams, but it's been fun, these two games. I don't know, is it fun on your part to be any part of these things?
Well, it's certainly stressful, but it's fun to move the football. It's fun to score points. It's fun to make big plays and see teammates make big plays. And our defense stepped up again and again. Special teams made plays. So another great team win, and we can build on it.
Tell me about protection today, because that seemed to be the operative word. They thought they did a really good job of keeping you clean for the most part. The one play that sticks out in my mind was down close in the red zone close, and you swiveled all the way back and fouled Bijan in the left flat.
Yeah, I think getting through progressions, you can't do it if you don't have protection. The touchdown to Kyle to start the game was my third option or more in the progression, and the same with the touchdown to Bijan. I mean, he's the fifth guy. And so to get through the progression, it says a lot about our offensive line.
It's fun to see a quarterback in the zone, and you've been in the zone against a number of teams. But, again, it seemed like you fell into a very comfort zone for yourself. Walk me through the throw to Mooney for the touchdown.
Yeah, great route by Mooney. We had talked during the week of the different angles that throw could be, depending on how they defend it. And he ran right where I wanted him to. Again, the pocket enabled me to kind of see it as I wanted to see it, and then I just put it to the spot I wanted to put it in. He went and ran and made the play, but the separation he creates at the top of the route, great job.
Looked like you did a little something with Antoine Winfield there, too, and he's an excellent safety, and you get great respect for him. Like you froze him in the middle.
Yeah, he was, you know, the formation, he kind of had reason to push the other way, and I just wanted to make sure that he was going to do that. But I think he's playing the rules of his coverage correctly, and ultimately Mooney made a really nice play.
How difficult is it to be patient and drop the ball off? I guess it's easy when you got guys like Bijan Robinson you're dropping the ball.
Yeah, there was a time in the 2 minute at the end of the half where I check it down to him, and he's matched. It's really a dead play. But I throw it to him because my thought is, first of all, I don't want to take a sack. But second of all, like, he may make something happen. And he did. And he got us 10 yards up the sideline. So I'm going to keep giving it to him, even in tough looks. And he tends to prove me right.
When there's 6:52 left on the clock, I don't necessarily think you're looking at the clock. But you guys bled it all the way down to a minute. Walk us through kind of bleeding the clock, but yet still having to get first down.
Yeah, it certainly the main focus is like breaking the huddle. You know, let's try to bleed some clock between plays. But once you snap the ball, you got to play football and get what you can. And ran the football well. You know, had a few passes mixed in there. And Charlie got the drive started with a great flat, catching the flat, and then turned up field. So that was a big drive.
All right, last thing for you. What does it mean to you about this team responding? Last week, not the effort you guys were looking for. Tell me, or not the effort, but not necessarily the results you were looking for.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough coming back from last week. And we kind of, you know, messaged the team this week was, hey, guys, we got to respond. We got to pick ourselves back up off the mat. And, you know, it's a good football team, Tampa. I think they're a playoff caliber team. And it was a great response. And now we kind of build from here.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Arch.
By the way, who was on Dukes and Bell last week, Mike?
That would be
Charlie Warner.
And Charlie Warner, by the way, also had a couple of I think Charlie pushed him on the fourth and one quarterback sneak. A little bit of Charlie Warner help back there as well.
A little Dukes and Bell bounce there. Listen, Kirk said this before the game. This is from Jesse Bates, who you'll hear here in just a second. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 5 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. He said, we are heading into our bye week. We're 4 weeks away. We can take over the middle part of our season and really be intentional about it. And Bates said that resonated with a lot of guys because, like I said, the cream's going to rise right here. The next 3 or 4 weeks, Mike, we're going to find out what teams are legit and what teams are not. We already know the Jets aren't, right?
Right.
But there are teams right now you go, they just, it's not going to happen. We're not one of those teams. We're one of these teams where you're looking at us and going, they have a chance to be dangerous.
And now everybody's involved. Kyle Pitts with 2 touchdowns. We'll talk more about the one that, thank God, they didn't have a pylon cam at Raymond James because I think that would have been coming back from where I was sitting. And Kyle did say he's got to see that ball through and he's got to get in the end zone before you can start thinking you got yourself a touchdown. But it's great to see everybody involved. Bijan doing his thing. We talked about Pitts. Mooney, you just heard Kirk Cousins talk about that little move that Mooney put on the defensive back. That's one of the most beautiful pass plays you're going to see in a Falcon, you know, a Falcon game. Everything's cooking. The only thing we'll get more into this later, but the only thing you can complain about is 50 dropbacks for Baker Mayfield and not one sack. They got to get some pass rush.
Well, there's a team that made another push for pass rush today. We'll tell you about that. But before we do, let's hear from Jesse Bates. And after the game, he was talking with Dave Archer.
Joined now by our Solomon Brothers player of the game, Jesse Bates. And all he... I said when you came out here, all you do is make plays, man. Tell me about the interception, or tell me about the punch out first. We got the ball out real early in the game.
Yeah, we knew, you know, coming in, I was a little bit surprised off the tone calls. They wanted the ball early. And, you know, I was like, we got to set the tone early for this whole game. And, you know, the guys up front did a good job of tackling the guy, and I just came in with a punch. And the ball came out. Next thing you know, the ball's in my hand, and you know, that's just what happens when you take the attempt to just keep on punching the ball, make it a habit. Good things happen when you can punch the ball out like that.
Yeah, but you got a knack for doing it like nobody else. I mean, the only guy that comes to mind for me is Peanut Tillman, who played defensive back in Chicago, getting the ball out.
Yeah, like I said, it's a habit. You know, as a leader on this team, I try to do it every day in practice. I put myself in the position to make the tackle, and then I go punch the ball every single day. And that translates to the field. It translates to the success as our defense as well. You see Nate Lamb out there punching the ball. We just got to get everybody doing it. And like I said, it's going to be nothing but good things that happens when you're taking attempts at the ball.
You said you were a little surprised that they took the football to start the game. I was a little surprised that Baker tried to try you on the sideline. I mean, knowing your reputation for being able to take the ball there, it was not an easy play. Walk me through the interception.
Yeah, flea flicker. You know, I was a down safety on that one, and being in zone as a curl flat player, usually they jet motion the guy over and they run duo. But it was a flea flicker, and thank God Mike Hughes did a good job of playing that post and coming off on the wheel as well. But I knew the ball was coming. I knew that play was made to go to the wheel and just turn my head and make a heck of a play on the ball. It's just like baseball. Just go track the ball and go grab it out the air.
I'll take this guy in center field for me every time. No question about that. All right, last thing for you. They ran the ball for 62 yards in the first quarter. They were really pounding you guys. The run did. All of a sudden, the run game went away. You guys took it away. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, coming in, they're always a starting fast type of offense. They ran the ball really well, like you said. But I think once we settle down, you know, as a defense, that's just something that we've done. We need to get better at it as well as, you know, add all that in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. stop the run, play great defense. But I think once we get settled in, man, we play our rules, it's hard to beat us. And it's always good when our offense is scoring points, and it's hard for other teams to go and run the ball. You know, they got to force them to pass it. And but, yeah, just credit to the guys up front and this defense, just never wavering and just always seeing the end goal.
Be easy to pick this guy as the player of the game every week, but this week he's the Solomon Brothers player of the game. Thanks, Jess.
Appreciate you. Y'all take care. Rise up, baby. Thank you.
Deservingly so.
How about the preparation you hear in that soundbite, talking about looking at the tape, knowing the tendencies, and know where to be in the field? Him and A.J. Terrell, man, turnover machine, but this guy does it every week.
He does, Mike. And you know, he just said, the offense putting pressure on other teams. When you're scoring, this is why I use the term, they're dangerous. They can be. If we're scoring, all that stuff goes out of the window, man, and it makes the defense so much easier to maneuver and operate when you start talking about, hey, we're going to take them out of their offense, Mike. And you said it. Baker now has to throw the football. This is what I wanted. Mm. I said, hey, I want him to have to throw guys out there, right, and Evans and Godwin. All right, when we come back, though, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. It has to be addressed, and we will in our own special way. Mm-hmm. Next.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
There's so many things to be excited about with our Falcons, and we are. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our team's winning. We're in the hunt. It looks like we're going to win our division, which means we would host a playoff game, which we haven't done in a long time. But there is one elephant in the room, Mike, that we need to address, and that is Matthew Judon. I am challenging Matthew Judon to step his game up. Mike, whatever we've seen from him is not what we expected. And now we're 8 weeks in. Mike Bell, you tell me, what do we need to do? The trade deadline is November 5th, guys. Mm. We saw the Chiefs today go out and acquire Joshua Uche. Right. 1 year deal he signed with the Patriots, $3 million. So basically, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Chiefs traded for him for a 6-round pick. They are adding to whatever they already have with a very good Chris Jones and that defensive front. Mike, they're all in. They're saying, hey, we need help and we're going to go get it. What are we doing, and what is Matthew Judon doing?
Yeah, we've got to find some, because we're just not getting there, guys. I believe our blitz rate, we're blitzing at about 25, I think we're the 24th most as far as blitzing attempts. So we're not actually, you know, changing our philosophy. We're trying to get there with the down lineman and, you know, and the OLB who's supposed to be out there getting it done. Judon's just not getting there. 1.5 sacks. He's not making the guys around him better. Ebikadi is – now, here's what I want to talk to Coach Raw about. Why did Ebikadi have 6 sacks last year, but he can't get any traction, you know, in a Jimmy Lake offense, Jimmy Lake defense, I should say? And you really don't have any other guys to work with. I mean, you get Dorless, you could get him some reps. And it looks like Rukoroho, we're waiting to find out how bad he is. It looked like he really jammed up his ankle yesterday. Do you start to make some phone calls and say, look, we've got to find this elsewhere? Za'Darius Smith from the Browns, Ojulari from the Giants. I mean, guys, they're all going to get snapped up. Now, I don't know if the Giants are going to move, but they do have 2 edge rushes with Kayvon Thibodeau and with Brian Burns. Are the Browns going to try to feel they can make a run? See, that's the thing. Who's willing to start shopping their guys? Max Crosby's not an option, guys. That's not happening. I don't believe Myles Garrett is either, unless you're coming with a first-rounder.
I agree. And by the way,
we got to do something.
Well, Rook gets hurt yesterday, and this is just part of the discussion about the pass rush, but no update on him with the ankle. Mike, when you start talking about the leaders, right, you said maybe Dexter Lawrence. He has 9 sacks for the Giants. Are the Giants sellers? Are they going to be – if they lose to the Steelers tonight, right, are they sellers at this point where they say, all right, you know what, we got to start acquiring assets and we're looking forward to next year? I don't know. Will McDonald and the Jets aren't going anywhere. He's got 8 sacks. Aiden Hutchinson has been on the shelf. He's still got 7.5 sacks in his 3rd in the league, and he hadn't played in 2 weeks. I mean, here's the deal.
Arden Key?
Yes, that's a possibility.
Chase Young, but I don't know if the Saints are doing a deal with us, but Chase Young, prorated, it was 1 year, $13 million deal he signed out of New Orleans.
Yeah, and see, I'm not enamored by Chase. I'm just not.
Me neither.
I don't think he gets the job done. Here's what I want. I want Matthew Judon to start making plays, and I'm not talking about what he's been doing. I'm talking about getting to the quarterback. Mike, his get off, his quick twitch, and all that stuff that we thought, hey, he's going to be a dog and all that. I haven't seen enough of it. And somebody asked me this real quick. They said, Dukes, is he a bust? No. He's still involved and he's being active, but just not getting home. And so we say, wait, didn't we go hire this guy? Because that's what we did, right? Mm-hmm. We hired him to do this job, And Mike said it. He's being double-teamed. Guys, all the good players get double-teamed. That's just a part of it. But he's going to, at some point, have to have a breakout game, and I'm hoping it's Sunday.
And sitting from where I was sitting, he also gets kind of enveloped by some of the bigger tackles. And obviously, you know, when he's up against Wirfs, that's a man-sized tackle. But it just seems to me that maybe the Patriots just knew there was nothing left in the tank. And sometimes guys, they fall off a cliff. I hope that's not the case. But you've got to scheme him up. You've got to do something. We've got to blitz more. I mean, I know that we've got a great secondary. They've shown the ability to make plays as they did this weekend. And Baker Mayfield, guys, you could thank him for throwing some. I mean, like, he threw the ball where he didn't think our guys could make plays. And they did. Jesse Bates stole one. AJ Terrell made this unbelievable diving catch at the 6. But Baker had all the time in the world most of that afternoon, 50 dropbacks and not one sack.
How do you feel? 404-726-0929. And I don't want to put sole blame. I'm not doing that about why we lost last week or what the. Here's what I'm telling you. This is an area we need to improve in. And we went and got a guy that we thought we were going to be able to improve in it. The secondary is better. You know why? We invested in Jesse Bates. We improved. We went and got Justin Simmons. Now, he's been dealing with the hammy. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, you invest in these guys and you make these deals, this is what you do it for. Judon comes in and we say, okay, look, the pass rush is going to be better. And it hasn't. He's got to play better, Mike, and that's just where I'm at with this.
And I know that, by the way, see, the things, we're not the only guys that are out there looking for somebody, because the Lions are still talking about all those names I just mentioned. The Lions have been linked to those guys. I know a guy's got 2.5 sacks.
Who's that?
Jared Verse.
Come on.
One forced fumble.
Yeah.
It is what it is. They were locked in on Penix, but it was the question, and it was something that I know that not everybody who was going to be drafted in that first round, the other NFL teams didn't think Leitu Latu, as D-Led would say, was going to be worth drafting where we were selecting. But, you know, Verse is having a pretty good season for a rookie.
Well, listen, even when you go back, what was it, 2 years ago with Will Anderson, mm-hmm. right? But Will Anderson was a better player. We talked about this. This was just not a great edge rush class. This year, this spring, will be much better. But with that said, I just want somebody, if we were going to do a deal, Mike, and again, it doesn't have to be a splash. I'm not all caught up in that. I am simply saying, give me a rotational guy, some of the names Mike has mentioned, that can come in here and, in addition to what we have, add some value and get some sacks. I just feel like we're not getting enough from Judon right now.
The other thing about Judon, and it was kind of funny, I said wide receiver, it was actually Rashad White. It was running back. There was a sequence, and we've seen this in this kind of defense. Remember Dan Quinn used to run. Remember it would be Vic Beasley dropping back into coverage. Well, Judon was actually going step for step with Rashad White and
running with him.
Got his hand up, and luckily Baker Mayfield couldn't make the throw. So that was one of those unexpected moments, but not exactly what we're expecting out of Matthew Judon, to your point.
All right, 404-726-0929. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to Winterfest, the all-white affair. We've been telling you about it. It's going down December 20th, 8 o'clock at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
All right, so we're in the stadium, and I got to be honest, from where I was sitting, and we saw the replay on the big screen, it looked like the Kyle Pitts touchdown was a fumble.
Yeah.
Like what it looked like on TV, we found out later that there was no pylon cam, even though you got Greg Olsen is technically the second team for Fox. They didn't pack the pylon cam from L.A. when Fox came east.
It makes no sense. The NFL, now look, it turned out good for us. It turned out great for us.
They couldn't overrule it because the ruling on the field was a touchdown.
They couldn't see it, but there should never be a game in the National Football League with all the money they're making where there's not camera availability. Come on. That you go to these games, and I'm telling you, some of these producer friends of mine, man, I'm like, how many cameras y'all got? Oh, we got 40 cameras in the stadium tonight. What? There's not an angle, Mike, that you can't miss. And in a game on a Sunday afternoon, it just made no sense. But either way, I'm glad it played out the way it did. By the way, Kyle Pitts is going to be the player guest tonight for the Coach's Show, which starts at 6 o'clock. We are done early. Wednesday, we'll be up at Flowery Branch. Make sure you tune in for that, as we'll talk to Coach Ra and have a variety of guests. You never know who's going to stop by on those Wednesdays. But Kyle Pitts is going to be the player guest. Let me ask you, is that a – of course it's a learning lesson – teachable moment? How do you look at that?
Well, I mean, I'm going around with our buddy Eddie, who's like, you guys finally getting off his back? Yeah, he's doing his job.
Who, Kyle Pitts? He caught 2 yesterday. That's all I want.
That's, again, guy, you're soft. When we say, Kyle Pitts, do your job, oh, you guys are being mean. Yeah, I know we had 2 bumps thrown, but he also was banged up for one of those years.
He was.
That's not on the quarterback's fault that he can't run or do his job. At the end of the day, guys, some of you guys are so friggin' soft. Some of you guys, we get on an athlete, oh, stop. He's doing his job. We're giving him praise. But leaving the ball there at the goal line was dumb. Okay? That's when the offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, says he's got to be more detail-oriented. That's code for don't do that stuff. Come on. Discipline, man. Finish the play. You want to argue with me about it? Argue with Randy McMichael. He tweeted yesterday. Finish the play.
You got to finish. No, I don't disagree. And by the way, when I live, it looked like he did. He was in there, right? And they're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, are you kidding me? Don't tell me this thing got stripped out of his hands.
Right.
You know how you avoid that? You run through the goal line. There's no question.
Right.
You run full speed through it, and you get there, and then you can clown and dance and do whatever the hell you want to do. You can dirty bird, whatever you want to do, but you got to run through that. So that's why I say, Mike, teachable moment?
Right.
Yes, absolutely. But Kyle knows that. We're acting like he's never scored a touchdown before. Kyle Pitts has been in the end zone a lot in his life. I just feel like this is one of those deals where he just let up. You cannot let up. This hour is brought to you again by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Luckily, that didn't come back to bite us, man.
Hey, man, we said the same thing about A.J. Terrell. A.J. Terrell's now the second highest paid corner. He's playing like it. That's the best game A.J. Terrell's had as a Falcon. I mean, am I wrong? He's playing. He's hitting guys, run support. That's one of the greatest interceptions. Guys, I got the videos up at Mike Bell ATL on Twitter. See the reaction of the defense, how they swarm around A.J. when he's on the bench, Carl. They were going bananas on that amazing athletic play.
You want to win a pair of tickets right now to Winterfest? Thank you, Orin. Escape. BBD, Q Parker and friends, RL from Next, Carl Thomas. I could go on and on. So, Silk. Speaking of Silk.
Escape.
Everybody. I mean, it's going to be everybody. December 20th. Caller 12 right now. Caller 12, 404-726-0929. If this is in your wheelhouse, you're going to want to be there. We talked some college football with our man, Connor Riley. Big week, and we're going to dive deeper into it as we continue throughout the course of the week. Dogs and Gators, Mike. The cocktail party, 3:30, ABC on Saturday. Of course, the Dogs had a week off. Hopefully it does them right, man. I mean, listen, they're a 16.5-point favorite right now to start the week. Do you think that number goes up against Florida?
I think it will, but you know what? We asked him, what is, Todd, you know, how are you going to get Mike Bobo to get him to nine? I almost said Todd Monken. That's the former OC, but how do you get Mike Bobo and Carson Beck on the same page? So Carson Beck's not making some of those mistakes, which keeps a team in the game and creates more work for your defense. I just said, let ETN, man. ETN wanted so badly to get out of Gainesville. Let him go to work and kick some butt on Saturday in the cocktail party.
Yeah, let him eat. We'll dive into that as well as, look, this is a place where after A&M has a big emotional win at home, Mike, they go to South Carolina. Coach Beamer, this would be a good spot for them to surprise a lot of folks. They're 4-3, 2-3 in the SEC, but A&M has not lost a game now in the SEC. I'm just telling you, that might be an upset spot right
there. Mike, you know, it's Mike Elko and the physicality. See, that's the kind of stuff that travels. You always have a defense travels.
It does.
They play that physical brand of football. Love this stuff after the words going, I'm not some BS politician talking fast. Well, who are you talking about? That could be like half the coaches in the SEC right now. But he did say it had nothing to do with Jimbo Fisher or Brian Kelly as they beat LSU. He stopped LSU's run game cold in that game.
Yeah, they did. Nussmeier had to throw it around. He was looking great in the first half and then completely fell apart. Rankings are out, obviously, still undefeated. Penn State, if you're wondering, Oregon at 8-0. Miami, they win against Florida State. Sorry, Mike. 8-0. And then Indiana is still unbeaten.
Yep, had college game day out there. The coach is great. The coach said, hey, man, I don't lose. Whether it's James Madison, he's like, look at my resume. I don't lose. You got to love yourself. A lot of folks feel that that could just be a simple springboard for him. He's going to get a job somewhere.
No doubt. He is.
But the other thing, Penn State, it was kind of a slugfest against Wisconsin. Ohio State looked flat as hell, if we're honest. If you saw that game against Nebraska, that was ugly.
Well, we're about to find out about Penn State. They get Ohio State noon on Saturday. So we'll get more into college football. Guys, as we talk about the Falcons on this Falcon Monday, Coach's Show is on the way. Tonight it's Kyle Pitts. He is the player guest, by the way. And as we mentioned, on Wednesday, Mike and I will be up there at Flowery Branch talking with Coach Ra and grabbing a couple of players as well. Hey, real quick, Mike, before we get out of here, the play of the day yesterday, everybody's talking about it, is that Hail Mary. I don't know if we'll see another one. It's doubtful because we hadn't seen one like that in a very long time
right.
Where, you know, it's the end of the game. You think, okay, but I just want to say this. This is why you stay. If you're at these games and they're, you know, a 3-point lead, okay, they get the ball back. We know they probably won. I know we all are prone to leave, but can you imagine if you did yesterday and you were a Commanders fan? It's one of those right. situations where we're always like, ah, we're going to lose. And then you see something amazing.
And you see something you never thought you were going to see. Have you seen the new video that's out there, the meme? It's a split screen where you're following Caleb Williams' reaction, him and...
He's disgusted.
DJ Moore, is that who it is? And they're standing there, and it's like, oh, what? What? And by now, you heard Tyreek Stevenson has apologized to Chicago, to his teammates, to everyone, for acting like a horse's arse, and trying to engage with the Commanders fans. And the answer, you got nothing. It's all over. Oh, crap. Let me get over here. I got to do something. I'm going to tip the ball to your boy. Okay, game's over now.
Yeah.
So that, it's bananas. The Baker Mayfield Hail Mary, now luckily it was out of the end zone against us, and actually took out a Florida State trooper. Apparently busted her ankle or his ankle.
It looked worse than I think than what it was, but yeah.
But you're right. And I've learned my lesson because, you know, the last game was Tampa Bay where all of a sudden Tampa Bay got sluggish and we were able to get the ball back.
Overtime.
And yes, I may have started the game in 342, Carl, and ended it in section 140. But you never leave the building.
Don't leave. Right. Don't leave. Hey, man, we got to make way for the coaches' show and get out of here. Let's clear our throat. Hey, thanks for everybody being here today on a Monday. It's a joyous day, man. Falcons in control of a lot of things right now. You should be feeling really good about our team.
Hey, man, who do you like tonight? Pittsburgh and the Giants.
Steelers.
Mr. Unlimited. Is he going to hook up there with, the vertical passing game that we're starting to see with Pickens?
Well, listen, I like the Steelers because of their defense. The over-under in this game, Mike, 36. Giants don't score.
No, Giants do get after the quarterback, so keep an eye on that.
So, yeah, I we'll see what happens. I like the Steelers. Hey, Big O, great job. Turtle, executive producing. As always, great job, fellas. Mike Bell, glad you had a great time down there in Tampa. Let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we were talking about all the things that are happening this week. You know, get lost in the shuffle, the World Series. The Cardinal of New York, by the way, Cardinal Dolan said, you're going to pray to St. Jude if you're a Yankees fan. That's the patron saint of lost causes, by the way. You might remember that from The Untouchables. Remember Sean Connery? That's St. Jude. Anyway, I don't know about this. It just seems like the Dodgers have their number. And, man, we've had our troubles against the Phillies the last few. Maybe Freddie Freeman was the secret sauce. He's on one good leg, and Freddie Freeman is delivering the goods every big game for the Dodgers.
Hey, the Cowboys have lost 4 in a row. Are we going to make it 5 on Sunday? Listen, a lot of people think their season's already over. You really want to make it a really fun season? How about we make it 5 in a row for the Cowboys, Mike, and kind of put a damper in their season? Listen, there's still hope, but they're not playing well. And if you lose 5 in a row in the NFL, well, you can say bye-bye to Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You have just ordered a life-size sculpture of yourself by the same artist who created Dwayne Wade's masterpiece.